Good morning and welcome to church, and thank you for coming to worship with us today. Again, just a few quick announcements. Dress a Girl is the 16th. Oh, want to come and help out with that? You don't have to sew. You can always cut and do stuff. And we're looking somebody to head up Dress a Girl, so keep that in prayer. Men's Retreat, September 12th through 14th, is Zephyr Point. Welcome to do that. If you want to go on for information, Pastor, or you can go online, find it there. And there's always multiple ways to give. Back in the sanctuary, give online, give by text, and also a code thing. Give that way. Let me get this stuff here. A couple of things. If you're always interested in studying the New Testament, come join us next week in Adult Sunday School. We're starting the New Testament. Now, if you're interested, let me know. I'll give you a copy of the introduction. And most of the time, there is no wrong answer. We read the book and we get the four of us that have normally been doing it. We get four different answers. We're all right. So if you're already interested, let me know. We can get you the information and do that. Other than that, let's pray and enter into worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for your encouragement and strength through the fellowship, through the music, through the message. But as we absorb this today, let's be like a sponge and give it back out to those around us, the encouragement in their lives. Give account of the hope that is in us to them. Bring them into your kingdom. Just thank you for today, in thy name.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone. Real quick, before we get started, before we dive in, I would actually like to invite the youth up to the front. As we know, if they haven't started yet, our kids are entering into the school year. And so we would really just like to pray for our youth and have them come up. Don't be shy. All right, here we go. All right, so here is the future of our church, along with those who are in the portable. So we just want to pray really quick and just pray for them to have a blessed year, for God to be in their decisions, for God to be in their school, for God to be in their work. I invited a few people to come up and just lay hands, and if you feel like you want to come lay hands on them while we pray, that is, by all means, go for it. But we would just like to take just a few minutes before we start the service and just pray for our youth. So can we do that this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these students. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We thank you for them to go to school, have time with their friends, have time to learn, and we just pray that you would be with them this year. We pray that you would guide their decisions, guide their thoughts. We pray that you would be with them in the school building, in their classrooms. Lord, we just pray that you would be with them. When times get tough, when those tests come up, when studying gets hard, we pray that you would carry them through. We pray that you would guide them. And Lord, we pray that as they grow this year, that you would continue to grow their heart for you, that you would continue to grow their spirit for you and others around them in the schools that they're at. In your name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. All right, well, I'm going to let them, they're actually going to go back today with one of our young adults, Austin. He is going to be giving them some words this morning, and we just encourage that. We are thankful for that. I'm sure that they are thankful to get some time away from me, especially my two kids. All right, and now for us. If you have your Bibles this morning, we are going to be in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. And while you're getting there, I just want to share with you a quick story about a gentleman named Charles Schwab. Okay? And he was one of the wealthiest men in America a century ago, and he wanted to get more done. He wanted to get more done in his day. He wanted to figure this out. So he got a consult. He got a consultant, and that consultant gave him one piece of advice. Write down your top five priorities, and then do them one at a time. And because of that decision, that one habit completely changed his productivity in his company. And why? It's because focus multiplies impact. When we focus on something, we multiply the impact of what that something is. So, what if we as a church, what if we as Christians, what if we as a body of believers focused our time and energy with the same kind of intention? And instead of doing it for productivity, we do it for God's kingdom. There's a lot that can happen and can get multiplied because of it. So let's pray before we get into the reading this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for this morning. We pray that you guide us through these words. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to be guided by you, to live by you, to learn from you. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning together. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. We've gone through this a couple times in different ways, but we are going to be going over the parable of the bags of gold this morning, okay? So if you have your Bibles, let's read. If not, the words will be on the screen. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags of gold. To another, two bags of gold. To another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags. Now I lost my space. You entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, it would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pretty harsh at times, right? You can get a little like, whoa. But Jesus is telling this story about giving and receiving. This story is about stewardship. When Jesus is sharing this, he loved and shared parables to get people to understand, to share with people. And this stewardship, he says, he's talking about the one thing that we all have. The one thing that no matter who you are, where you come from, whether you're old, young, rich, poor, nothing, we all have the same thing. Time. 24 hours in our day. I don't know what you guys did yesterday. I spent most of my day driving back from Southern California. However, we all have the same 24-hour day, correct? Now, what we do with that day is up to us. What we put into our life, what we invest into, what we put our time into is up to us. But we all have the same amount of time. And not just in general, but what about today, this week, this month? Now, tomorrow is never promised. But while we're here, while we're living, breathing, and being the children of Christ, what are we doing with our time? What are we investing into? Because we can see here that 2 multiplied with what they were given, and 1 buried because he was scared. But they both, all 3 of these people who received from their master, had the same time. The master left them at the same time. The master came back at the same time. And what they did with it is up to them. And it wasn't about profit. It was about purpose in what they were doing. So Jesus is saying this to us today. Give God your time. And in that time, what are you doing with it? So where is it all going? The first thing. So let's talk about our week for a second. And now that I think about it, I should have had our youth in here for this one part. But studies show that the average American spends 1,100 hours on their phone per year. That is 47 days of your life gone to scrolling. That is wild, isn't it? Okay, that does not include things like TV, watching Netflix, binge watching your favorite show. That does not include the activities. That does not include all the other things going on. But you can lose months of your life because of scrolling and taking your time into other things. Now, I didn't post the picture. I was debating it, but I'll admit it. I'll be truthful. But I went onto my phone, and I have two, so it's even worse. But I went onto my phone, and I went to the setting, and I was like, screen time, let's see, what was my average? My average screen time per day was 4 hours and 37 minutes. Okay? Now, I'm not scrolling that whole time. Okay? I'm doing other stuff. I do a lot of my reading and things like that. However, I will admit, because then I was like, I'm going to go one step further with this. What are the apps that I use most? And darn it, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, were all in my top five. I'll admit, my Bible app was not in my top five. But that's just truthful, right? Where are we investing our time? What are we doing with that? So now, let me be clear on something. Things like rest is not bad. God gave us a Sabbath, correct? To rest, reflect, to be with Him. But distraction is not rest. Distraction is delay. And distraction is deception. So because, here's what the enemy does. We all know, we all have talked about it, we all may have heard about it, that the enemy has already lost. The enemy knows that he is lost. God has already won through Jesus Christ, through His Son coming down, living a perfect and holy life, spreading His arms on the cross, dying for our sins. Jesus Christ won. It is finished, right? The devil knows this. But, he lies. That is what the enemy does. John 8:44 says the devil is the father of lies. He'll whisper, "You're tired. Don't do it." He'll whisper, "You know what? You deserve this." He'll say, "You know what? You can serve later, next time." But later never comes. There's always something. Hebrews 12:1 says to throw off anything that hinders, and distraction hinders. Drifting hinders. So the devil does not have to destroy your life. The devil does not need to be this force that is going to rip you apart and destroy your life and make it so apparent to you. That is not what the devil has to do. The devil just has to keep you scrolling, keep you moving, and keep you occupied. And that is it. He's already lost. But he says, "I'm going to make sure they're lost too." And if he can't win, he's going to use things. Okay, entertainment, TikTok, technology, binge watching, movies, the ability to now record everything, the ability to go on Netflix, the distraction, hold up. The ability to go and watch your favorite show in one weekend. The ability for me to know that my NASCAR race, my game, my morning game of the Giants or whatever else is going on will be recorded and waiting for me at home. All that stuff. Stay. All that stuff can be a distraction and used. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy life. That doesn't mean we can't do things. That doesn't mean we can't have fun. But what is taking your time? What is the most important thing? If we go back to that story of Charles Schwab, what are the five priorities in your life? What are the five top priorities in your life? Think about it. What are the top two? And let's go back to the parable. The faithful servants, they went at once. No delay, no excuses. They went out. But the third guy buried his opportunity. The third guy let fear, distraction, and everything else come in between him and what the purpose of God was that he was given. And the master, when he came back, didn't call him unlucky. He didn't say, "Oh, darn. What a shame. You're such an unlucky person for this to happen." No. He didn't say that. He called him wicked and lazy. "You wicked and lazy servant." If that doesn't wake us up, I don't know what can. Because let's flip the script. Let's think about this. Because if we believe Jesus Christ is coming back, if we believe that we will be held accountable to Christ, we have to believe that we will be held accountable to the time that we spend with Christ, for purpose, on mission for the Lord. And it's not just a casual suggestion. It's a spiritual wake-up call for all of us. What are we doing with our time? Because what we do with our time reveals what we truly value. What we do with our time reveals what we cherish most. Is it family? Is it God? Is it loved ones? Is it relationships? Is it your significant other? Or is it TV? Is it the garage with all your tinkering toys? Is it that classic car? Is it wealth? Is it that club that you go to? Those people you hang out with, what is your priority? What do you value most? Because the stake is eternal. What we live for is eternal. So what we do with our time reveals that. So if we bury our time, we lose it. If we invest it, we multiply it. Plain and simple, we multiply it. So that should stir up something in our hearts. That should stir up our life, our just being. Not fear, but urgency. Okay, we all know by now that I am a big movie person. Probably not helpful in this situation because I'm admitting that I love watching movies, but it's something I do on my free time. On my day of rest, I like to put on a good movie. And a movie that this reminds me of is a movie called In Time. If you've seen it, you may have not. But the whole purpose, moral, whatever you want to call it, of that movie is that they wake up with a certain amount of time on their wrist. Those who are rich and wealthy have more time. Those who are poor live day by day. They literally wake up with the hours of the day on their wrist. And they go to work. And they put in time to earn time. They don't earn a paycheck of money. They literally earn time. That is what they do. They earn time. So imagine the sense of urgency that they have when they have nothing and they wake up and they go, "If I don't get moving, I don't have tomorrow." Now, Just for a second, even if you haven't seen the movie, let's just picture this. What if every day we woke up with a 24-hour clock on our forearm, our wrist, that started as soon as we woke up? Right? And that urgency was, I need to build more time through the gospel to get through today. And let's, another thing, all that other stuff, that distraction, the Instagram, the social media, everything the world has now, takes time. It costs you time. How many of us, let's be honest, how many of us have started that magical spot on the couch, sat down, started scrolling, and then you go, it's dark? Or kids go to bed, you're kind of doing your own thing, you turn on that TV show and you're like, I just watched 5 episodes? There's a hidden feature on your guys' Netflix and stuff, just want to let you know. Turn off the autoplay. So you have to at least select the next episode, so you hopefully subconsciously go, don't click another one. But how many of us do that? You look at the clock and you're like, where did time go? That is what the devil wants. Because if you can be distracted, if you can be taken off path, if you can be pushed out of the way, if you can go through a day like that with all the other fluff, then that is one less day that God could have used you for kingdom and internal impact around the world. So the devil doesn't have to destroy you. He just simply needs to distract you. Because in distraction comes destructiveness by not leading others and not sharing with others and not bringing others to Christ. So, who can we follow? Who can we live for? Who can show us the example better than anyone else of how to spend our time? Hey, there we go. Jesus Christ. Jesus lived with purpose, and so should we. So Jesus said in John 9:4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. So Jesus lived like time was short, because it was. From the moment Jesus entered into his earthly ministry to the moment he hung on the cross was just roughly under 3 years. Not a lot of time. Jesus lived with urgency. And before that, he lived in preparation. And every moment was aimed at eternity. He didn't drift. He didn't scroll. He literally, every moment, he didn't waste time on what didn't matter. And Jesus wasn't just an example. He was the reason we live differently. He was the reason that we live. Because he came for us, he died for us, and he showed us of a purpose. He rose again so that our lives could be more than meaningless moments. They could be filled with purpose and hope. Because when time comes, when that day comes, when Christ comes down, when the Master returns and says, what did you do with your time? There's not one of us in this room that's going to look at each other and be like, man, I'm so glad I watched more Netflix than you. I won. I put up one more post than you did of those flowers in my garden. Or the food on my plate, or whatever it is. Hey, at least if you're posting, post about Jesus. Share Christ. If you're on social media, we all know that there's algorithms, right? All that stuff. What does your algorithm tell you? What you look at the most? Is your algorithm full of verses and scripture and Bible verses? Most likely not. And it's not because we don't look at it enough at times, but it's because the world is always going to throw other stuff in the mix to distract you. But if you're on it, make it purposeful. So Jesus is the reason, and that's why this matters. Because if we don't know Jesus, today is the day to meet him. If you don't know who he is or how he lived, today is the day to learn about him. If you ask yourself, well, what did Jesus do from wake up to go to sleep? How did he act? Today is the day to start reading. Put the phone down. Pick the Bible up. And if you're like me, I need to pick this up. I'm not one of those people that can go to my Bible app. I can reference my Bible app. Don't get me wrong, I go to it and I open it to reference something really quick if I need to. But if I have my phone and I'm on my Bible app, do you know how easy it is to go, let me check my email real quick. That notification popped down. Oh, let me check that real quick. I haven't been on TikTok in an hour. Let me look really quick, some funny video. And then before you know it, an hour has passed. And all you did was open the Bible app to go somewhere else. Or all you did was set this on the counter and go, okay, I'm set up. I'm ready. Let me scroll for 2 minutes real quick. It's this adrenaline rush. It's this dopamine hit that you get because of this excitement that builds. Because of what you're going to see on TikTok. What is the next thing I'm going to see? It's the same thing people get when they go to the gym and they work out. They're like, they get this adrenaline rush. They get this energy because of what they've just done. Imagine if we built the habit that our adrenaline rush, that dopamine we get, is from opening our Bible. And we wake up and we go, man, I have to get that reading. I have to be in the Word. I have to be in prayer. What are your top 5 priorities in your life? What are the top 5 things you do? And he calls you to trust him. Jesus calls you to trust him, follow him, and allow him to transform your life. And that is for every moment that you live. And if you don't know him, then you're called to live like him. And if his spirit is in you, you have accepted Christ into your heart, then you are not living aimlessly. You are living on purpose. You are living for a reason. And your life is not your own. It is God's. It is to glorify him. It is to share him. Because every hour is holy ground for Christ or not. So Ephesians 5 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. So your time is either moving you towards God or away from God. Your time is either being spent building a relationship with God and learning more about him, or forgetting things about God because you haven't been with him in a long time. So there is no neutral. So what if this morning we change the way that we believe and think? Now let's take everything we've learned so far and connect it to why it matters, not just for us as individuals, but for us as a church. So when we look at the servants in Matthew 25, the ones who invested were given more, and growth was brought to them. Things were multiplied. The master's joy was extended because of their faithfulness. And imagine that what could happen, not just in one life, not just in one day, not just in our church, but imagine if all churches, if all believers, if all those who say they're with Christ lived for him, the church will then become more than just a gathering. The church will become a powerhouse, a movement of purpose. So when we as churches give our time to prayer, we start to hear from God. When we as a church start giving our service to God, we start moving into the community like Christ. When we as a church and a body of believers start living our lives for God, with God, and in the way Jesus did, we can move mountains. We can be a church that impacts the community. But we have to not be distracted. We have to spend time. We have to grow deep in the Word and widen our reach. Because a church that stewards their time well is the church that makes kingdom impact. And we, if we want to be a church that truly grows, not just in number, but in depth, in roots, then we need to steward our time well. And it starts as us individually. So remember how I said it at the beginning. 1,100 hours on average is what the average American spends on their phone scrolling. 47 days. And that's not just when you're awake. 47 24-hour days is the average time people spend just scrolling their phone. So, the world is constantly advancing its mission on social media, entertainment, and the busyness in our life. But if we are called to move God's mission and vision forward with the time that He gives us through our relationship, homes, workplaces, schools, then we need to invest that time wisely. And it does not mean, I'm not sitting here saying, you need to go home and throw away that TV. I'm not saying that you need to go home and throw away all those tools and stuff that you tinker in the garage with. I'm not saying any of that. What I am asking all of us this morning is, what are your top five priorities? And what are you doing with those top five? And do you need to replace something? Is one of your top five social media? Can't go to bed before you scroll it. Can't wake up before you check it. Can't go an hour or two before you post something. If that's the case, what if you turn that to God? Can't wake up without Him. Can't go to bed before talking to Him. Can't go an hour without opening the Word and saying, God, give me some advice. Imagine what our life would look like. Imagine what our day would look like if we did that. So here's the challenge this week, and I'll invite up the worship team. Here is your challenge this week. I want us, everyone here, to look at what is your priorities in your life. And I want you to redeem 1 hour. Don't go crazy. We're not running into the gym and picking up 1,000 pounds and trying to lift it and then running over to the treadmill and running 10 miles as fast as we can because we will all fall. I definitely will. We are starting small. Let's retake that time because guess what? Over time, the habits that we built just started happening. And if we look back, we're like, I don't even know where this started. I don't even know where this addiction of scrolling social media came from. So let's start small. I want you guys to take back 1 hour. You choose how to do it. You choose how to break it up. But take back one intentional hour every single day. You want to wake up and spend an hour in Scripture? Wake up and spend an hour in Scripture. If you already spent an hour in Scripture, wake up and spend one more. I want you to take one additional hour to whatever you do biblically, whatever you do in prayer, whatever you do with God. I want you to take one more hour this week and regain that. Because if you really look at your week, at the hours in your day, I'm pretty much going to guarantee that we have a lot more time than we think. If you take the 4 hours, if you come to church really early and stay until 12 and you shake every hand on the way out to the parking lot, let's just say you've 4 hours. Do you guys know that that's only roughly 2.3% of your week in church? If that is the only time you're with God, that is 2.3% of your day, your week, is in God with Christ. So let's regain that. 1 hour. 1 hour a day. Split it up. 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes every quarter. I don't know. However you guys want to do it. But will you do that with me? Will we all reclaim 1 hour this week? We will take 1 hour to be more invested in Christ. We will take 1 hour to be more invested in sharing God in our relationships. We will take 1 hour to stay away from social media and our phones and whatever else is your distraction. You find your distraction. You choose what your top five are and make sure that God's in those top five. Let's try to get God back to priority number one. And if he is priority number one, congratulations. Give him one more hour this week because we all have it. You have the same 24 hours that I do. Let's make that 24 hours count. Because if you spend an hour and I spend an hour, we all spend an hour. Imagine the impact we can make in the community around us this week. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for time. We thank you for giving us the ability to have the 24 hours in the day that we have, Lord. And I pray right now that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, that you would speak to all of our hearts individually and say, here's where you're spending your time. So we can say, I'm going to give away that time and I'm giving you back an hour. And we're starting today, Lord. Church didn't count. We're giving you one more hour today. I pray that we would do that this week. And I pray that in a couple weeks, that hour seems normal. And let's come back together, Lord, and let's reclaim another hour. Because Jesus lived with purpose. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for being the example in our lives. And we want to live our lives on purpose, on mission for you, the way you did for kingdom impact in our community. And Lord, I pray right now that if there are those who have been led away, those who don't feel close to you, those who feel that you are not part of their life anymore, that have replaced you with other things, I pray right now that you would speak to them. I pray right now that you would be with them. And if that is you, if you are sitting here and you're saying, you know what, I don't spend that much time with God, I don't give him my day, I need to give him this hour. I need to give him more. I pray that you would say to God right now, Lord, I commit my life to you. Lord, I give my time to you. And Lord, help me give you this extra hour every day so I can build that habit. Because if we're going to be distracted, I would much rather be distracted because of you. In your name we pray. Amen.